Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom Shabbos Taf Lamed Vav, and we're starting Lamed Hamed Beis about the second to last line with the words Loisoif Davar Lachin and Avil Tzur Zdaf. It's all the way at the end of Chav Tes Amud Aleph. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing Atmana now in regards to the din that certain things one is allowed to use as long as they're dry but not moist. So the Gemara says Loisoif Davar Lachin. It's not ultimately that the only time they're usher is if they're naturally moist. For example, grasses that were just cut, so they're naturally moist. Afilu Yevashin Shneslach Lachu. Even if they were fully dry and then they became wet because some liquid was poured on them, that also is considered moist and it would be usher to be tamed in them. Where do we get this from? In Ilan Meichen, from these Meichen that we had in Mishnah, which are grouped together with Tevin, that there was a difference between dry and moist. Aren't these Meichen soft tufts of wool or cotton? They're definitely dry and then they got moist. That's the only way they would be considered wet. They don't have a natural moisture to them, and so we see that if they're moist, they're usher to be tamed in. Rabbi Yochanan Shila, he tells us, Hada Amr, we learn from here, that if a person wants to be tamed in his pot, he has to take a little bit of the liquid out of the pot. For example, he has his chicken soup and it's brimming right to the top. He has to take some of that out. Do asi mesiv, he might end up putting it down, vishavcha, and then some of it's going to spill out onto whatever he wants to insulate in, umarascha, and that's going to heat it. Because as we said, these things, when they're moist, they're davar hamaisiv hevel, so he might have these soft tufts of wool that he's going to be insulating in, and then some of his overflowing soup is going to spill onto it, make it wet, and now he can't be tamed in it anymore. So he should just make sure to take some of his soup out. And then we're continuing to Antonin over there, we learned in Mishnah, chadasha, shana, tahar. Now he's referring to a Mishnah in Kalim, which discusses an oven being heated with new fresh gefes and how that makes it tame because the gefes still has liquid in it, which will come out. And this tells us that old gefes, which is dry, will not be metame the oven. And that being the case, we should also be allowed to do hatmana in old dry gefes because it's not moist. There's no liquid in it. Now we just clarify, ve'ezui chadasha, ve'ezui yishana, what's considered new or old gefes? So Rabbi Yisrael Rabban tells us, chadasha, b'sach 12 chadash, new gefes means that it was pressed into oil within 12 months, whereas Yeshana, old gefes, is la'achar 12 chodesh, it's already after 12 months, after the pressing, so there's no more liquid in it anymore. Continuing the Mishnah, it said, Tomin b'ksosu appears v'chan feyoyna, so Rav Yehuda Bar Pazi says, b'shem Rav Yehuda Bar Chanina, hadada tamar shaloi ravas rukuvesen. One is only allowed to be tamin in these things, really focusing on the peiris over here, if it hasn't started decaying and molding and rotting. Avo ravas rukuvesen, also l'tamin behen, but if these fruits are rotting and molding, one is not to be tamin in them, because they're considered like a davar hamais of hevel. Lastly, we had said in the Mishnah, uvin arishal pishdan, uvin arishal charashin. We discussed flax combings and sawdust. And Tanakama told us that fine sawdust is okay, whereas Rabbi Yehuda argued that fine sawdust is not okay, it's only coarse sawdust, which is fine. So the word clarifies, anantaninun nisayres. We had learned that this machalikas Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda was in regards to sawdust. However, tanoid base Rabbi, nisayres, it was taught in base mesh of Rabbi that the machalikas between them was in regards to the flax combings, whether or not they're allowed to be fine or they have to be coarse. And ada amar, yada yada, this tells us that it's machalikas across the board. We combine these two different understandings, the one of our Mishnah and that which was taught in base mesh of Rabbi, and we say that actually the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda argue in both scenarios. The Mishnah says, Tamin b'shlachin u'metal tanaisan. So two different dinim over here. First of all, we're allowed to do atman and shlachin, which is animal hides, and we're also allowed to be metal to them. They're not mukta, so we can move them because they can be used as a mat. And so they're davar she'ena ma'asev hevel. We could use them for atmana, and we're also allowed to move them around. However, b'gizei tzemer ve'in metal tanaisan, we could do atmana in wool shearings. They're davar she'ena ma'asev hevel, but we are not allowed to be metal to them. They're mukta. The person's going to end up spinning them into thread and weaving them into cloth, and therefore no moving them around. So let's say he did do hatman in these gizei tzemer. Ketzad oisa, what's he supposed to do? Noitel kisui, that's the proper gear. So he takes off the cover, vehein noiflois, and then they fall off of the cover, and that's fine. Now let's say he did do hatman in these gizei tzemer. He had a box full of them, put his pot inside, and everything was packed nicely. It's good hatmana. How is he supposed to get his food out? So Belozab Nazario Eimer, he tells us, kuba matal tzid v'noitel, he should simply tilt the entire box on its side and take some food out. He shouldn't take the pot out. Why is that? Maybe he's going to take it out of the gizei tzemer. There's going to collapse inside this indentation, and now he's going to want to move them to the side, but they're muktza, and he can't do that. Therefore, just leave the pot inside. Whereas the chum say noitel machzir, he could take it out and put it back in. The chum are not chayshesh that the gizei tzemer are going to collapse into the hole, and therefore, as long as the hole is still there, he could put the pot back inside, and there's no chashashas. Moving on to the gemara, time in mishlachim taltonai son. So Rabbi Yehuda Pazi says b'shem Rabbi Yehuda son hadad the tamar ben asunin eitzabal bayis. This was said that we're allowed to move around these shlachin, these iris, these hides, if they were at the Baal Bayis, meaning they were in his house, and clearly he's going to be using them. He's going to be sitting on them as a mat, maybe he's going to use it as a blanket or something like that. So therefore, they're not muktzah at all. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Aval benasunim b'apatiki, but if they were in the storage house, they're in the warehouse, and he's going to sell them, loibedah, that's not what we're talking about. In that case, these hides would be muktzah, because since he didn't bring them into the house, he put them in the warehouse to sell them, then they're muktzah, and he can't move them around. We can explain the Mishnah, because they both say, and the Mishnah is only talking talking about Bnesun Bapetiki, when these Gizei Tzemer will put in the storage house, in the warehouse, and they're meant for sale, so then they're Mukta. But if they're in the Baal Bayis' house, he brought them home, Loi Bida, then that's not what we're talking about. There's no issue to move them around because they're not Mukta. He has them in his house, so obviously he's not going to be processing them further. Now it's important to note that it has to be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan argue with Rabbi Pazi regarding hides, because if not, there's no difference between hides and wool shearings, and the Mishnah obviously does differentiate between them. So it has to be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan hold that Iris, these hides, even if they were in the warehouse to be sold, they are not Mukta. And according to Rabbi Yehuda and Pazi, with the wool shearings, even if they were in the house, one is not allowed to be metatalim. So that would be the machlokes between them regarding the dinim of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara moves on to talk about Mukta. Rabbi Yirmiyah says b'shem Rav, Parsan Machzelas al gabi shiofas shalavena b'shabes. One is allowed to take a mat or a cloth of sorts and spread it over rows of bricks on Shabbos. Even though the bricks are Mukta, we're still allowed to cover them so they don't get ruined by the rain. This has to do with the machlokes of ein kli nitel el letzorech davar hanitel, that a kli is not allowed to be moved unless you're using it for something that's allowed to be moved. And according to this man, Amar, this is not a problem. Even though you're not allowed to move the bricks on Shabbos, you still are allowed to move the mat in order to cover the bricks. In other words, a kli is allowed to be nitel, afilu letzorech davar she'ena nitel. Now another din like this, Rav Shimon Rebbe, Rav Shimon son of Rebbe says, anila shemati me'aba, I did not hear the following derech from my father, but achaisi amrali mishmai, my sister told it to me in his name, that beis shenol de b'yomtif, an egg which was laid on yomtif, which is mukta, soimichalal kli b'shul shalit eskalgal, one could put a kli right next to it to prevent it from rolling and breaking, aval ein kaif and alas a kli, but you can't take the kli and place it on top. Lamavavam beis on top, Shmuel Amr Shmuel says, kaif and alas a kli, one is allowed to turn the kli on top of it to prevent it from breaking, and clearly Shmuel holds like Rav, that a kli is allowed to be nitel, even with tzarech davar she'enoi nitel. Now Rav Mani, he clarifies, v'vad shalo yehei ha'kli noigea b'guva shel beitza, as long as this kli isn't touching the egg itself, because if it touches the egg, it might move it, and that's a problem, but as long as it's not going to touch the egg, then there's no problem. Now Tanur Rishaya, Rishaya taught Nebraisa, nechil shel dvarim, which literally means a swarm of bees. Over here it's referring to a beehive. Parsonal asadim mechamim b'nei hachamim, u'shamim b'nei hachamim, one is allowed to take a sheet and cover it in the summer because of the sun, or in the winter because of the rain, and the question is, ma, k'rav v'shmul, what's this dinner of Rishaya teaching us? Is it just like Rav and Shmuel? Rav and Shmuel had just told us that a kli is allowed to be nitel, even for a davar, she'ein nitel, and it seems to be that Rav Shai is telling us the same thing. And if that's really the case, then what do we need Rav and Shmuel's din for? We already have this from Rav Shai, which is a braisa. And the answer is that there's actually a difference. Kan milman, kan milmaton. Rav and Shmuel were talking about covering something, which is ein nitel, with a davar hanitel, whereas Rav Shai is actually talking about placing it underneath the beehive, and that's a totally different din. The Gemara continues, Rav Business says, b'shem Rabbi bar Chanina, kafi l'soitais also the taltalon. Coverings of boats. This is some sort of large cloth of sorts that's meant to cover boats. That is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos because it's mukta. Now a story, Mitzata hu prison, there were traps that were spread out to catch animals, but then Mistarfon Gashimsha, and they were being burned by the sun. They were out in the open sun in the blazing heat and they were getting ruined. So Asan Vishalu Rav, they came to ask Rav, Mal Matatal Asan, are we allowed to move it out of the sun so they don't get ruined? So Amrulani told them, Kashvin Alain, you should think about them, the Masninan to Chase Rishekhan, that you want to put them underneath your heads, Vishar Lukhan Matatal Asan, and then you're allowed to move them. This then has to do with mukta. We know that a klisha malachta il iser, something that's main use is for iser, is allowed to be moved for one of two reasons, letzarech makaymai or letzarech gufai, if you need the place where it is or if you need it itself. So for example, you have a hammer on your Shabbos table, it's a klisha malachta il iser, but you need to set the Shabbos table, so that's letzarech makaymai, you need to move it, or let's you need to crack some nuts open, that's letzarech gufai, you could take the hammer in order to crack the nuts. And that's what he was telling them, even though these traps are klisha malachta il iser, if you think about that you want to place them underneath your head, that you're going to land them like a pillow, so then you're allowed to move them because let's tzarech gufay, and then you can move it out of the sun. Onto similar din, Reb Zaira says b'shem Reb Yirmiya, rashi klonsiyos, the tips of beams that usually are not able to be used for anything, shechish v'alein me'esmo, that he thought about them yesterday, meaning erev Shabbos he thought about them, that he wants to use them, maybe to sit on them, motel tatlon, so then on Shabbos he's allowed to move them. And a story about this, Reb Yonav Reb Yaisi, salkon l'sidra l'bar ula, they went up to this medjish of bar ula to have a riva tamon, there's some sort of gathering over there, v'hava tamon rashi klonsiyos, and there were these tips of beams over there. Also shalom le mal tatlon, they went and they asked, what about moving them? Could we move them? So Amalani told them, if you thought about them yesterday, you want to use them, motel tatlon, then you're allowed to move them. Vimlav, if not, then you can't move them. And Tanar of Chavta Bar Shal, Rav Chavta Bar Shal taught, muchen shchash valein me'esmal, motel tatlon, soft tufts of material that he thought about the day before, he is allowed to be metatlon on Shabbos. And Tanar of Yesi Ben Shal, he teaches, tzavar shal kairos, a whole neat and organized stack of beams that were arranged like that so they didn't get warped, shechish valein me'esmal, that he thought about them from yesterday, that he wants to sit on them, motel tatlon, so on Shabbos he's allowed to sit on them. And Rabbi Yitzi quotes Rabbi Chanin, who says, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, we take out Rabbi Yitzi from the Girsa, and Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha quotes Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, who quotes Rabbi Chanin, who says, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, Abba, my father, Shalcha Hava, he was an expert tanner of Hava. hides. V'hava amr lanu, and he used to tell us, kishru l'chem rashi gizios, you should tie the edges of the hides together, v'atem rutan l'tatal l'machar, and then you're going to be allowed to move them tomorrow on Shabbos, because now you did some sort of maisa, some sort of act to them, and that shows that you want to be able to use them the next day. Now Chizkiah amar filu malon, Chizkiah says, even if he didn't tie them together, he simply did some sort of basic stitch on the edge of one, that's considered a tikkun enough that he'd be allowed to use them the next day and they wouldn't be mukta. Now Rav Amar, Rav says another din similar to this, charyas shegidol shchiva, if he had cut palm branches off for shchiva, intending that he's going to sit on them, einu tzrichas kishur, they don't need to be tied together, he doesn't need to do anything else to fix them up to show that he wants to use them for Shabbos, just the fact that they were cut in order to sit on them makes them usable on Shabbos. However, la'olin, if they're meant to be used as a tent, he's going to use them as a roof covering or something like that, so then tzrichas kishur, they do have to be tied, meaning some maisa has to be done to them before Shabbos in order to change them from this designation of being used as a roof to being able to sit on them, and then they're not going to be mukta. However, Abba Bar Chana Amar, he says, bein l'shchiva, bein l'oilin, tzrichas kishur, whether they were cut for sitting on them or for oilim, they need some sort of kishur, they have to be tied together, and only that maisa is going to allow him to use them on Shabbos. Now, Amar Chizkiah, Chizkiah says, v'oidim kishured Rav ba'oilin, l'kishured Rav Abba Bar Chana b'kelim. The requirement that Rav has for making some sort of tie on them when they were cut for the purpose of oilim is different than Rav Abba Bar Chana's requirement to tie them when they were cut for kelim. Kishured Rav ba'oilim, ad sheyikshar's kol ha'koytzim. Rav's type of tying that he requires when they were cut for oilim and now he wants to sit on them has to be that all the thorns, meaning all the pokey parts of the branches, are tied together, and only that type of tying, which is really proper, is able to change his designation from oilim to be able to sit on it. Whereas kishured Rav Abba Bar Chana b'kelim, this requirement of Rav Abba Bar Chana that they need to be tied even when they're cut for kelim, meaning even when they were cut just to sit on them, that's just ad she'alei and tayar kli. It's just a very small act that has to be done to them that gives them this tayar, this name of a kli. But it's not this real proper tying that all the kitzim, all the thorns and pokey parts have to be tied together. Lam zayin amar rav on top, because im oimer at ad sheyikshar as a kitzin, if you want to say the shitas Rav Abba Bar Chana, that all the thorns have to be tied together, in ma'isa gadol mizeh, there's no ma'isa greater than that. So it has to be that his requirement of what has to be done to fix them up, to be able to sit on them, is very small. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continue to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.